FM Rewind, Vow 88.1.
We are zooming in on a trend that's on the rise, especially among young people. Talking about cosmetic surgery, from what we call liposuction to nose jobs, body sculpting to Brazilian butt lifts, also known as BBLs. More and more young South Africans are turning to surgery to change their appearance. And with the rise of what you call cheap deals abroad, their risks are greater than ever. From filters to flawless Instagram feeds, more and more women feel pressured to look a certain way. Some turn to extreme diets or even dangerous surgery to meet those standards. But what if what we're really dealing with is mental illness like anorexia or body dysmorphic disorder? Big words. Yeah, I do agree. These are big words. But to help us understand the true cost of cosmetic surgery, we're joined by Professor Sofianus, one of South Africa's leading plastic and reconstructive surgeons. He has seen the damage, he has seen the infections, complications, and the emotional scars left behind. He's joining us on the line. Good evening, Prof. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good evening. Thanks so much for having me.
Now, Prof, from a health perspective, what exactly is cosmetic surgery?
So cosmetic surgery is not your standard sort of surgery where we're reconstructing something, for example, that is damaged in trauma or, for example, cancer, or, for example, let's say an infection where we're treating an appendicitis. Cosmetic surgery is changing already existing features and improving them or making them better for an individual. So there might not be something specifically wrong, but rather the individual wants to change their appearance.
Are there any pre and post requirements for the surgery?
So I think you've highlighted it quite importantly. So obviously mental health is a big thing. So we're seeing a marked increase in cosmetic procedures among younger adults. You know, you did say that there's huge trends, which we're seeing in South Africa as well. But I think these are sort of driven by social media, be it TikTok, Instagram, etc. And it is still surgery. It is still has recovery. It still has risks. So we need to be realistic. We need to be mature. And obviously, above all, we need to make sure that we're screening individuals and making sure they're mentally healthy and that they're having the procedures for the right reasons.
Speaking of mentally screening the individuals, what's the procedure to ensure that a particular individual is ready to take this life-changing decision?
So with regard, you did bring it up, so body dysmorphic disorder, it's basically a mental health condition where a person becomes obsessively preoccupied with what they think is flaws in their appearance. Obviously, picking a plastic surgeon where you have deep and meaningful discussions with them, understanding their expectations, what they're trying to change, those sort of things start off, you know, that relationship with the surgeon and the patient where you can pick up if something's wrong mentally with the patient. Obviously, if they've been to many surgeons before you, if they've had multiple attempts at previous procedures, those are red flags. Unfortunately, as surgeons, we don't have specific training in these sort of things, but we are able to pick up red flags. And where those red flags exist, we involve other members of the team, such as psychologists, that can help with those assessments.
So in a situation where red flags are being picked up, what exactly happens? Do you then suggest a particular individual to then seek help from a psychologist, or do you also advise them to, go back to the dream board and think about it?
I think obviously promoting introspection and people thinking about what are the true reasons they want the surgery is the first point. But involving someone who's an expert in that is obviously the first line of the approach in this situation. But, you know, supporting the individual, understanding truly what it is in their lives that is pushing them to have cosmetic surgery is the starting point.
Now, Prof, as I mentioned earlier on, that you have seen and witnessed some of the infections and the complications that do take place. What procedures do you regard as high risk?
So I think there's no procedure in plastic surgery that we'd say is a low risk. So all procedures where we're changing someone's appearance, where we're cutting out excess skin, where we're injecting fat, where we're changing a person's appearance, automatically classifies as a sort of medium or high-risk procedure. What's happened is with this sort of trend overseas, with patients going overseas, we're seeing a lot of those patients having lower-cost procedures in countries like Turkey, where there's no proper regulation, there's inexperienced surgeons, there's no backup. And obviously rushing off to Turkey, having it, and then not recovering fully and coming back to South Africa, and not having to deal with those sort of complications with regards to that. So it's quite scary because there's a huge influx of these sort of patients coming in where they've been sort of tricked by these overseas clinics into thinking that it's a quick and easy procedure with a quick recovery. But in actual fact, these procedures are big procedures and they need support from, like we said at the beginning, from the first consultation, through the surgery and then post-operatively with the recovery. These sort of procedures take 2 or 3 weeks for incisions to close, even up to 6 months for swelling to go away, even up to a year for scars to improve. So it's not a quick and easy sort of fix where you go to Turkey for 10 or 14 days and then you sort of healed up and you're back in South Africa ready to take on the world.
Now, talking about the safety measures, how different are the safety standards in countries like Turkey, as you mentioned, compared to South Africa or other regulated health systems?
So basically, South Africa's always had strong medical regulation. They've got accredited training pathways for plastic surgeons. So if you're seeing someone in South Africa that claims to be a plastic surgeon, they've had at least 5 years of formal specialist training. They've worked in large accredited hospitals, and you can be sure that they've been through a rigorous process of training and assessment. Unfortunately, in Turkey, there's much less regulation, for example, in Turkey or other countries like that, where we're not sure of the sort of training they've received, whether they've had adequate, rigorous oversight when they've become plastic surgeons. So ultimately, these people that you might be going to in Turkey that call themselves cosmetic surgeons might not even be plastic surgeons by training. They might be general surgeons. Some of them might even be gynees. So you're not entirely sure if the person sitting across from you promising to change your appearance is actually a well-trained plastic surgeon. Again, there's no recourse. If something goes wrong in Turkey, it's very difficult for you as a foreigner, as a South African, to get recourse in that sort of country. In South Africa, patients have structured follow-up. They have legal protection by the HPCSA. They've got monitoring. They've got people here ready to support them if something goes wrong.
Now, are these high-risk procedures that we spoke about reversible? For example, you now have a young lady or a young man who went to Dubai or Turkey for a particular plastic surgery. They come back and they start experiencing complications, health complications, infections, imbalance. Are they reversible?
No procedure is truly reversible. As soon as we make cuts, we create scars. So it's really impossible to get rid of those scars that are there. We might improve them. For example, like you say, a BBL. So, you know, you have fat injected in your bum. We can go back and remove some of that fat. We can try and re-sculpt some of that fat. But ultimately, it's really difficult to take the person back to where they started. And that's why it is really important to think through it, because revisions may be possible, but they never will bring you back to your original state. They're always more complicated procedures. So if you thought the initial index procedure was high risk or difficult, the revision procedure is even more difficult because we've got added scars, we've got added complexity, and obviously added risk to that procedure as well. So not truly reversible. Unfortunately, no surgery is reversible. We can improve it, but never back to where you started.
Now, why do you think many young people underestimate the seriousness of cosmetic surgery procedures, because we're seeing a growing trend of young people influencing other young people to undergo certain surgery procedures? Why is there such a trend?
So I think many sort of young people underestimate the permanence and the risks of cosmetic procedures because they're influenced by social media. social media sort of has dramatically shaped how people see themselves, how they can expect a quick fix with cosmetic surgery. They don't really understand the recovery, the complications, the emotional impact. So, you know, you're seeing this influencer, for example, on social media that hasn't posted the entire journey. They've sort of skipped the parts where they're swollen, they're uncomfortable, they sore, they're recovering. And you think that, you know, you go in for cosmetic surgery and you come out sort of quick and easy, healed up. So I think social media has a huge role to play in that, unfortunately.
And what are the long-term health complications would you like to advise young people considering going through any form of cosmetic surgery in the next 10 years or 15 years or 20 years? What are those difficulties and complications that you reckon might arise?
So each cosmetic surgery or plastic surgery procedure is different. So let's, for example, if we talk about breast implants. So no breast implant can be left in permanently. The breast continues to age, for example. So we used to say that breast implants have to be changed every 10 to 15 years. Those breast implants, they risk rupture, they risk inflammation. Procedures such as fat grafting, so BBL, that's where you inject fat into the buttocks, that fat might become asymmetrical, it might become calcified. So long term, these procedures might need further procedures as we get older. So the younger age at which you have these procedures, the more likely you will need a future revision or touch up in 10 or 15 years after the initial procedure. And again, I think that's not something that's communicated through social media, is that it's not a once off fix. These sort of procedures will probably need something in the future as well. Non-surgical things like filler, for example, can lead to stretching of the skin, can lead to damage of the skin, that sort of stuff, which, again, is not reversible.
If you just tuned in, we are in conversation with Prof. Sophianus. He's joining us on the line, one of South Africa's leading plastic and reconstructive surgeons. He's joining us to talk about the dangers and the health implications regarding cosmetic surgery. Perhaps you have questions. Do make sure that you send them on 0745779461 at Vow88.1 on X, Facebook and Instagram. We'll be right back right after this.
Daytime radio at its best. That Lunch Show.
What's something you know you do better than most? No hype, just pure facts.
There's so many. And I'm trying not to sound like I'm brain, but I'll just keep it minimal. I know I'm good at cooking.
No competition in
I've never really had competition. Maybe if someone feels like they can do better than me, let's do it.
The one thing that I'm definitely the best at is cooking. I don't think anyone can beat me in that. You can bring your mother, your sister, anybody that wants to try, but I'm definitely the best.
Maybe you have competition.
I don't mean to brag or anything, but then I would say it's dancing, because I've been dancing for a long time and I always seem to dance even when it's unnecessary.
Are you a good dancer, Pumi?
I'm not bad. I'm
you can pull some moves. I saw it last Friday when we had Piano Killer MC. I'm like, Pumi is bad.
That Lunch Show.
Weekdays from 12 to 3 p.m.
You are listening to The Wellness Booth on Vow FM.
All right, just gone 28 minutes past 6. If you just tuned in, welcome to Wellness Booth with Harvey T _ Versa. You and I together all the way till 7 p.m. Still in conversation with Prof. Sophianus, talking about cosmetic surgery and mental health. Your questions on 0745779461. Now, Prof, I want us to get into what you call body dysmorphic disorder. I know that you did touch on it, but what exactly is a body dysmorphic disorder?
So body dysmorphic disorder is firstly, it's a mental health condition. It's a serious mental health condition. It's where a person becomes obsessed with a perceived flaw in their appearance. So you and me looking at someone, they might look perfectly normal, but for those individuals, it rules their lives. They become obsessed with those small imperfections that might even be invisible to others. The rates are actually surprisingly high. It can affect up to 2% of the population. And these individuals feel that cosmetic surgery will be able to fix these features. The problem is that surgery rarely is the answer to these problems. The issue is psychological, not physical. And that's why these sort of patients, if you as a plastic surgeon don't pick up these red flags, these patients go to multiple plastic surgeons. They look for multiple surgeries to try and prove something that's minor or invisible. And actually, at the end of the day, they're never satisfied and they're never happy, unfortunately.
We have young people who have a bloodline of relatives who are perhaps suffered or some succumbed to various comorbidities such as your blood pressure, be it your high cholesterol, sugar, diabetes, cancer. Would you say that they might be at risk? And before we get into that, perhaps let's get into who is at risk.
So I think just by virtue of the fact of age, so young people always are at higher risk of these sort of mental health disorders. These sort of young people are exposed, again, as we said previously, to social media. But young people generally have higher risk of conditions such as anxiety, depression, obsessive-compulsive tendencies, and that's where body dysmorphic disorder fits in. Comorbidities such as high blood pressure, diabetes, those don't in themselves increase the risk of body dysmorphic disorder. But living in a family where, let's say, a parent or a significant other is constantly sick might increase the risk of those obsessive compulsive tendencies and in itself body dysmorphic disorder. But generally those patients don't inherit body dysmorphic disorder, although there is a strong genetic link. So if you find that a parent had body dysmorphic disorder, there is a risk of a child having it.
All right. Now, I want us to wrap up the interview by advising a young person who wants to undergo any form of cosmetic surgery. Perhaps they might have seen someone they like on Facebook, Instagram, your TikTok and various social media platforms, and they think, well, I want to be like them. I've seen young people, especially on TikTok, wanting to look like your David Beckham. Others, they always wanted to look like your Michael Jackson and all these influential celebrity. What's your advice as someone who has witnessed a variety of people coming to do cosmetic surgery for various reasons?
So specifically with young people, actually any person wanting cosmetic surgery, I always advise them to take their time. So cosmetic surgery isn't a quick fix. I always encourage people to pause, really reflect what is the reason that they want the cosmetic surgery. You need to make sure the decision is truly for you. It's not based on social pressure or any filters on Instagram, for example. People need to understand the risks, recovery, and that cosmetic surgery, although we said some of it is reversible, actually is a permanent procedure. Although surgery in itself, it can offer real benefits to those patients that might actually have a flaw that can be improved. However, it's not a shortcut to self-esteem. It's got long-term consequences that are both physical and emotional. Remember that social media, unfortunately, is not the standard. Social media with its filters, its angles, its edited images is a completely unrealistic idea of how people do look. Comparing yourself as a young person to someone else, it's not only unfair, it's possibly harmful to your mental health. So I also recommend you that you speak to a qualified plastic surgeon who will take the time to assess not just your body, but your mindset. A good surgeon is not just the surgeon who will say to you, yes, let's do the procedure. A good surgeon is one that will turn around and say to you, you might not be the ideal candidate for it, and we shouldn't go ahead with it.
Now, I want us to also talk about how we can help to educate young people about the risks involved, to make sure that we minimize the chances of, young people flying to various countries to get any form of plastic surgery. It's very important for us to use various platforms, not to encourage them to take certain risks, but most importantly, to educate them. How can we do that?
I think probably this show is a really good start with that, that we sort of open and honest and having these discussions and discussing the sort of stigma that's attached to cosmetic surgery. I think educating young people means we need to just be completely honest. We need to be honest about beauty standards. We need to be honest about the real risks of surgery. I say to people that are considering to go overseas, why not have a consultation with one or two or even three local plastic surgeons? Make sure that you're making the right decision and see that actually you might even be able to get the procedure done in South Africa at a similar cost. If you add up the cost of going to the foreign country, the travel, the staying there, the actual procedure, and if you think of possible complications afterwards, it might actually be cheaper to do it in South Africa. When we do surgery responsibly by qualified surgeons in accredited hospitals with proper aftercare, it can be safe and empowering. We just need to make sure it's being done for the right reasons and in the right place.
As a young person, I'm in a room with a plastic surgeon. What are the common questions that I should ask before agreeing to any procedure?
So I think firstly, asking the plastic surgeon, before you even get there, investigating and making sure that they are a proper plastic surgeon, are they board certified? So have they had formal surgical training? Have they got a specialist training in South Africa, not just cosmetic courses, not just a GP, for example, that has gone and done a liposuction course? How many times has that surgeon performed this specific procedure? So experience matters, essentially, for the more complex or higher risk surgeries. You should always ask, what are the risks of surgery and the possible complications of surgery? Every single procedure has risk, and every single surgeon has had a complication. A good surgeon will be honest and upfront about that. Again, ask, what results can I realistically expect? Where will the surgery take place? Is the facility at which the surgery is going to take place accredited? Ask about stuff like recovery process, costs, what's actually included in the fee for surgery, what happens if something goes wrong or if you're unhappy with the result, and ask your surgeon how they screen for mental health concerns or unrealistic expectations.
Prof. Sofianos, thank you so much for joining us right here on Voice of Vets 88.1. Where can people get hold of you? And most importantly, for those who'd like to get more valid information about cosmetic surgery.
So we are both on TikTok and Instagram, so cs.surgery, and my website at www.cs.surgery. I try to reply to all inquiries myself, and I'd be happy to hear from everyone. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Amazing. That was Prof. Sofianos joining us on the line to talk about cosmetic surgery and mental health. He is one of South Africa's leading plastic and reconstructive surgeons. So please make sure that you get hold of him. When we come back, we're going to talk about mental illness. Stay tuned.
FM Rewind, File 88.1.